WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia. The following programming is sponsored by Mancini Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
This is Liberty Bell Smack with your hosts, Mark Mancini, Marianne Castello, and Danielle Orsino. Talking sports, entertainment, and hot topics. Let's get the conversation started on Liberty Bell Smack, right here, right now.
And we are on Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860, where we're going to stay connected, stay entertained, and we're going to get the conversation started. We're here every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's primetime drive time for you folks in the East. And you can listen five ways, whichever works best for you. You can tune in to WWDB AM Talk 860 out of Philadelphia. And if you can't hear us because you're not in Philly, or sometimes we're going a little dark right now, you can find us on HD2 radio station 97.5, or you can listen to us anytime, anywhere by downloading the WWDB radio app, or you can click listen live on WWDBAM.com, or better yet, you can call to listen or talk to us at 888-329-3306. My name is Marianne Castello, and I have a dynamic presence in the realm of holistic health and wellness, serving as a board-certified holistic healthcare practitioner and a licensed massage therapist. And beyond my clinical practice, I remain a prominent figure in media, hosting my own TV and radio shows, and as a motivational speaker. I'm a best-selling, award-winning, and critically acclaimed author from the Los Angeles Tribune, and I'm passionate about music and currently touring the world with Nectar, the legendary rock band. But that's enough about me, because I have my other host. She's with me, looking fabulous as always. With a string of awards under her belt, she's a celebrated fantasy novelist who dreams of crafting immersed realms for her audience. Her compelling word weaving pays homage to a multitude of personal muses, from Chris Claremont and George Perez to Anne Rice, Jim Henson, and Wonder Woman. She currently resides in the Vale with her pups, Carlos and Penelope, writing, cosplaying, ignoring the real world, watching football, and practicing martial arts. Let's welcome our host, Danielle Orsino. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Marianne. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. You know, I love being on the show, but I have to get it right out of the way because I am so, so excited for you. And I want our listeners and fans to hear it straight from you. What special, amazing thing happened to you this week?
Well, I can't believe it happened because this has never happened before. But Locked Out of Heaven and my new release, Thine Eyes of Mercy from the Birth of the Fae series, have both hit the new release bestseller list in spots number 1 and 2 on teen and young adults alternative history fantasy. They held both spots. Thine Eyes held number 1 and Locked Out of Heaven held number 2. I am officially a number 1 best-selling author with aren't both spots.
See, so aren't you excited? I'm excited.
I couldn't believe it. I actually looked at it and was like, maybe there's a mistake in the algorithm. Somebody hacked it. What's going on? And I kind of freaked out yesterday just a little bit, because Thine Eyes came out on Kindle Tuesday. And So I was like, wow. And Locked Out of Heaven's only been out on Kindle 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. So I was very, very excited. And I want to thank all my fave friends, anybody who downloaded the book, and keep downloading it. It's only 99 cents, so I won't break your back and your bank. I'm super, super excited. And I got From the Ashes coming out, which is book 3 in December. Yay. So I'm super, super excited. Very, very grateful because this has never happened. You know, I've always like gotten close for an hour where I'm like, oh, I'm 89. I'm almost there. I'm getting there. Or I'm like, you know, 112. I'm like, here we go. And then 2 weeks ago, I got Locked Out of Heaven on it. And I'm like, okay, that was a fluke. But then yesterday they both made it. So I was like, yay. And they hit triples and they were on like all three of my niches in the top five. So I was really, really super excited. And it's cool because it's a very different kind of feel, both books. I was really, really grateful and excited.
You should be. And there's nothing like seeing it like in the number one selling spots. And you've gotten that title. We're both in good company. So I'm so excited about that. And I'm so excited for you. And that means
Thank
that
you.
Behind the scenes, you've just been busy, busy, busy.
I've been a little bit busy, just a little bit, because the books have all been recorded as well. So they're on audio. And I was like, okay, you know, that's one thing when you get them all done.
Right.
But then when you're formatting them and doing all that crazy stuff, and I've actually been doing illustrations for the books. So even on Kindle, there's illustrations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when you do the Kindle, you get to see all, and they're in color when they're on the Kindle. So that's kind of cool. But then I have them also for the paperback and getting that all done. And then I just got my prototype in for my Oracle card set. I got the full 78 cards in. Just yesterday
really?
They came in. Yes. So I got them in, and you know, I tweaked a couple little things, but nothing major. The cards are going to stay how they are. I just got to, you know, like move a little thing around here or there where I'm like, oh, I want to show more of that, move this image, but they're done. And I did like the holographic gilded edges.
Right.
I think those look really cool, but yeah, they're all finished. And I love the characters. I love how they came out. I did like watercolors on some of them. Some of them I did real portraits. So it's all mixed media, different things.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really excited.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like I said, you've been busy, busy.
I've been busy. I've been a very busy girl. Not as busy as you might have been, you know, with all your vinyls and stuff. I don't know. I don't know if I could do a vinyl. Maybe I could do a vinyl of Blocked Out of Heaven. Who knows? I gotta ask Stefan.
Everybody
do that.
Is busy, busy. And busy is good. I think busy
is very good.
It keeps you out of trouble.
Yes, I need to stay out of trouble. But busy is a good thing for me. It's a very good thing. My husband will be, because I get up and I'm like, I got an idea. And he's like, no more ideas. He's like, that costs money. He's like, let's just stick to what we have. He's like, no more ideas. You know, I come up with, I'm like, let's do a lipstick line. He's like, we don't need a lipstick line. He's like, Birth of the Fae does not need a lipstick line. I'm like, but body glitter. He's like, no. I'm like, but fairies glitter. He's like, no more. We're good. So yeah, I start. You know, the brain starts going at like midnight, you know, that witching hour where I'm getting the ideas and he's like, go to bed. I'm watching like The Nanny on Cozy at like 1 a.m. And he's like, just go to bed. And the puppies are usually with me on the couch. And he's like, we don't need to do this right now. So yeah, I got to like calm down a little bit.
I don't think I've seen an episode of The Nanny. Oh my God.
Oh my God, I love The Nanny.
Oh,
Mr. Sheffield. Yeah, I love it.
Exactly. I have not seen that show in like forever.
She dressed so well. I was looking up. There's an Instagram account that goes through all her outfits and like tallies them up. Because she wore Todd Oldham for most of the episodes. Brenda Cooper was her stylist. And let me tell you, Fran Drescher was definitely styling. But she wore a lot of Todd Oldham. You try to find those things, it's expensive. And I wish Todd Oldham would keep doing stuff, but oh my gosh, yeah. She was definitely rocking some outfits. She dressed well in those episodes. I don't care what anybody says. A lot of that stuff you could throw on right now. She wore some pink slip dress thing. It was like hot pink with these flower things. And then she wore the tulle shawl. I mean, she looked hot. I'd wear it right now.
She looked really hot. And she accessorized. She
oh,
was
yeah.
oh, between the earrings, the handbags, the jewelry, like she accessorized. She really did.
She always looked good. I mean, I love Fran. I could love me some Nanny anytime. That's one of those shows you just sit back, you watch, it's mindless. You know, between her, Sylvia, Yetta, I could all day.
Yeah. And I just love the way, you know, what I liked about her is she was very smart at what she did on the show, and she takes care of everybody, but yet she has the ability to almost act like she's kind of airheaded at times, you know?
Yep.
But deep down, she was really smart and knew exactly what she was doing. It was a great show.
I
haven't seen it in years. I can't believe you said that. But you know what you probably haven't heard of in years?
What?
Here's a topic, only because Halloween just passed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going in there. And because we're talking about outfits, accessorizing, and you're talking about glitter and everything else.
Of course.
I know this is a little early for a hot topic, but I have to do it because it's so great. You ready?
Yep.
Do you know that the ruby slippers from the Wizard of Oz?
I was going to talk about this. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Okay. For the listeners who don't know, a pair of ruby slippers that were worn by Judy Garland in the Wizard of Oz, the most classic set of slippers, is on the auction block nearly two decades after a thief stole the iconic shoes, convinced they were adorned with real jewels, which they weren't, right? And the online bidding has started, and it continues through December 7th. I think it's with the Heritage Auctions in Dallas, have been announcing this, right? That the auction company received the sequined and bedazzled slippers. Bedazzled.
Yeah.
We'll talk about bedazzling in a minute, but
yeah.
They were bedazzled slippers from Michael Shaw, the memorabilia collector who originally owned the footwear at the heart of the beloved. Get this one. The musical was done in 1939, right? And he had loaned the shoes in 2005 to Judy Garland Museum in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. And then that particular summer, someone smashes through a display case and they stole the slippers. And their whereabouts remained a mystery until the FBI got involved and recovered them in 2018. Now, the museum is among those vying for the slippers, which were one of several pairs Garland wore during the actual filming. I think there's like four or five.
Four? Yeah.
Four remaining?
Four. Yep.
And then the Grand Rapids, Minnesota is trying to raise money because, of course, they have a festival. I think they have a Judy Garland festival every year.
Yeah.
And they want them back, right? And I don't know why that would, like, somebody would not return it to them. But get
this one. Yeah, I was going to say, wouldn't you just, it was stolen from them. Why don't they just get it back?
Get this one. The man who stole the slippers, he's turned 76 years old, right? And he was sentenced in January, this past January, to time served because of his poor health. And he admitted to using a hammer to smash the glass of the museum's doors, then the display case, and what his attorney said was an attempt to, quote unquote, pull off one last score after an old associate with connections to the mob told them the shoes had to be adorned with real jewels to justify their $1 million value. The only problem was they weren't the original shoes, so... I think he did all this for nothing.
Wow. Can you imagine showing up and being like, got him? And the guy going like, no.
But like, he had an inside job. He just wanted something to do his last score. And that's what he was telling, you know.
Sounds like an Ocean's 11, you know, story.
That's kind of why I like it. So I'm like,
if you're going to steal something,
don't you want it to be like the right thing?
Yeah, I want it to be something good. If I'm going to do that, yeah. Like, let's really do this. Not the pair of ruby slippers, like the stand-in pair.
Well, it's true. And you know what? Donna James Viedrich is checking in saying, hello, ladies, because I'm going to take this a step further. The fact that the bedazzled jewels look so real that he thought he had the original slipper is amazing. And for those of you who don't know what bedazzle is, it can be quite addicting.
Oh. Yes.
Right? Is it not?
And
have your little tool and you could sit there and put the jewel in and just put it on. And all of a sudden you have something that was blah. And now it was
bling.
Bling. In my case, diva-ish, because I like bling. If anybody hasn't noticed all the bling all the time, I have a thing for it. But bedazzle changed the world, I think, because you can make things look unless maybe he had a couple drinks in him or, you know, to give him the courage, that false courage to say, okay, this is the night I'm going to go do this and I'm going to steal this.
Yeah, like how do you, I mean, just what goes through your head that where you're like, tonight's it. Like, you know, I guess Cowardly Lion, he needed some courage and he just walked in there and was like, did he sing We're Off to See the Wizard?
The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
I mean, like, what's the hype music going into this? I'd like to know, because something's obviously going through that brain when you're going in and being like, I'm going to steal the ruby slippers. Somebody must look at him like, yo, okay, you go have fun there, stud. You know, what is, like I said, get Brad Pitt on the phone. This is a movie. This is another Ocean's movie. get it ready. Well, get everybody in.
What's funny is that you have to sit there and think to yourself, you know, I'm going to go steal this. Doesn't know what he's going to do with them, obviously. He probably thought he's going to pawn shop them somewhere for a little bit of thing. But I feel like, you know, maybe if you did have a drink, you have the false courage. And just like you said, it sounds like in an Ocean's 11, 12, 13 movie, you know, one of these. But it's got to be an adrenaline high on that, I have to think.
I would think, but he's going in with a hammer. It's not like this was so well planned. He just went with a hammer, was like, bam, take him and ran. I mean, this is smash and grab. It wasn't like, you know, he had the blueprint, the place. This seems more like a Wile E. Coyote blueprint moment versus a mad scientist thing. This was more like, I got, you know, the rocket roller skates, the hammer, and some goggles. And he was like, ready, set, go. But it worked. I mean, he had them. It took the FBI a while to find them, which I don't know what that says for the FBI at this point in time. I'm kind of like,
I look at, because I'm Italian, it's a full-blooded Italian, FBI, right?
It's one of those where you're just going, okay, wait a minute here. You spent 20 years trying to track this guy down. You had nothing better to do with your time than to look for the ruby slippers. Or this was like a side thing where they were like, just give the newbie this. And every newbie that came along got the case. So it kept like going on forever. It's one of the two. I'm not sure which one is better, but it was definitely one of those.
Well, besides that smash and grab, we like to reach out to our sponsors. And we are looking for sponsors to join our family here on Liberty Bell Smack. And we had a telethon a couple of weeks ago. And we did very well. I have to say, I want to thank all of our fans and everything that did it. But we also like to show you what you can get right here on this show. So if you wanted to give a pledge for $20 to $25, what would they get from you, Danielle?
You know what? I'm gonna switch things up a little bit tonight, if that's okay. Just because I'm feeling generous. It's one of those. So I'm going to actually show you one of my Oracle cards. And I'm going to give away one set of Oracle cards.
Ah, there you go.
Yep. So, and that's the other side. So that's the front. And that's one of the characters. I know it's kind of hard to see. You know, there we go. There she is.
There's all colors. And if there are people who are following us right now on social media, on Facebook Live, either on the WWDB page or Liberty Bell Smack page, you can see how beautiful these cards are. They're a multitude of colors. Your characters are amazing. It almost looks like it's in 3D, the way that's done.
Is that
a hologram?
Morgan. No, that's just, she's a succubus, so she reads auras.
But it's done so well that over this, it kind of looks like that. Yeah.
She's one of my favorites. Yeah. She's in volume 2, so you're kind of getting like a little spoiler. She's my main girl in volume 2, so I'm really excited. But yeah, I will give a full set, 78 cards. Full set. For that.
Well, I love it. You're Tyler playing our music here, right?
Yes, I know. I that's why I'm like, I have to do my Vanna White thing.
And I'm going to give you the Extreme Chakra Cleansing for a Supercharged Life. This is a DVD that can change your life if you want to. It's teaching you how to learn to meditate with your eyes open. No fluted in music, no birds, no ocean. Sorry, guys. This is something totally different, something totally hip. And once you get to know how to meditate after watching that DVD, then all of a sudden, you'll be able to meditate with your eyes closed and not fall asleep. Not fall asleep. That's the key thing. So we will give that to you. So we're so very excited to offer you that, and we'll offer some more during the show. But we thank everybody who has reached out and has helped us along the way. And with that, Danielle had a really unique idea for our sponsors, for authors. And I want you to share that with our audience.
I was thinking, authors, we know how hard it is when we have to capture somebody's attention. So what if we did 30-second book trailers for authors? Get your tagline out there, some cool music, and then where everybody can find your books. I think it's a great way to do it because Christmas time is coming. This is when everybody's looking for to get something cool for their bookish friend, their bookish relative, whatever it is. So for anybody out there, especially those indie authors, I know you're out there because I'm one of them. This would be an awesome thing for you to do. This way, everybody, whether you're in the Philly area or not, it goes out to everyone out there and they can find your book anywhere, whether it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, BookBub, Books-A-Million, bookshop.org. You can put any of those links in or announce those links, or maybe you sell it directly on your website. Mm-hmm. This way, you can say it, put your cool tagline, and we can put it up there.
And what we're establishing here is if you help us, we will help you. You know, you always got to get the word out there. Advertising is definitely key. And we are here to do that for you. And not only on the show, but also on social media, we can help you. So, you know, please reach out to us by direct messaging us, Marianne Costello or Danielle Orsino, or better yet, you could drop us a line at info@libertybellsmack.com. And we would love to reach out to you personally. We both will, and we will help you. So please be a part of that. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Tyler, thank you for all that music. That was great. I love him when he's on cue.
Happy to help.
Now, we have another.
Tyler's always there.
I'll get to your question, Donna, in a minute, because she's given us a good question to talk about. Now, I have to tell you, did you ever remember the arcade game Frogger?
Yes. Loved Frogger.
Remember, it was the frog and you were trying to get him over to the other side of the road and you have to, not get hit by
cars,
a car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this week in football, I have to say Frogger came to mind.
Yes,
and I want
did.
To hear your wonderful commentary, shall we say, on Barkley's move. Please tell us I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
Well, to be honest, after this, he was drug tested. The NFL drug tested him after this.
Really?
Yes, he was drug tested a couple days later. I think he was drug tested Monday.
Wait.
Or Tuesday.
Tested. Wait. How can you do a move like that and be high on something?
Well, they drug tested him for steroids.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But the thing is this is not the first time he's done this. He did a move similar in college, which is why the Giants picked him when they did in their first round years ago, and also why they're crying in their pillows right now after seeing this. But that's why I'm proud of him, because this move was the most unbelievable thing, and I think it should be one of the best running back moves ever in the NFL. Well, like highlight reel, everything.
Tyler, so when you see has this, got it on the screen though. As you're talking about this, Tyler has it on the screen. So if you're watching us live on Facebook and our social media pages, please check out Liberty Bell Smack page or WWDB's page, and you could see this live. Go ahead, Danielle.
It's unbelievable. Jalen Hurt passes it to him. Now this happened in the second quarter of the Jacksonville game. Throws the ball. Beautiful catch. Yay. He takes it. He spin moves twice and then pauses backwards and leapfrogs backwards over. When you see him spin, it's one thing. But then he stops. It's just a split second pause backwards to leapfrog over.
This
hurdle move. And when you see it, it's the pause thing that gets me, because you have to stop that momentum in order to do it. I couldn't believe it. But he straddles over the defender. It's unbelievable. Right now, he is second behind Derrick Henry. Now, Henry has him over on touchdowns. Right now, rushing touchdowns. Barkley's at 6. Henry's at 11. But when it comes to yards per game, he's at 115.6. Henry's at 116.3. They're neck and neck when it comes to this right now. For the season, Saquon's at 925. Henry's at 1,052. So it's still pretty close. But I don't care, because when you pull a move like that and you literally look like Superman, you win. I'm sorry, you win.
Well, one of our fans
offensive
is writing
player
in.
Player of the year, and you just give it to him. Just give it to him at this point, because I don't even know how he sensed the guy. Like, that's some Spider-Man stuff for you to be doing. For you to be like, somebody's coming. Oh, I don't need to look. Let me just jump in the air and split my legs open. Cool. They showed the fans. People just had their jaws on the ground. Like, nobody was even clapping. They were like mid clap, like, yeah, you got the ball. And then it just was like, huh? And all I thought is, John Maurer, you idiot. But he would never have done that with the Giants because they don't have the line for it. So I am thrilled that Saquon is doing what he's doing with the Eagles. Yes, it pains me. It pains me. But he's doing, he's living up to everything that everybody thought he could be. This is surpassing it. Okay, let's just say he just went from like zero to 500 because that move is crazy. I have nothing. Like, just bow down. And this will be played for years and years. I think he solidified himself in the Hall of Fame after this. Like, what do you do?
He must have. And he's done it. He's done it before because we have a fan writing in here, Donna.
Yes. She says,
he did it when he was with the Giants, but it didn't work.
Work, but he did it in college because he talked about it. And he said, this is the second time I've done it. It's just not, when I did it in college, it wasn't as good.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, the fact that you say, I did it once before, it just wasn't as spectacular. I'm sorry, what? Like, how do you go, what makes you say, I'm going to go and practice this?
Like, it's just a God-given talent. It has
that
to be.
At that point, you just tip your hat off and go, eh.
Did you ever put on a pair of cleats? You know, when you're walking around in cleats, how they're kind of hard to do that. Now I'm going for the shoe fashion here because I have to. Mm-hmm. All right. Yes. But not only running and doing his little jump, but landing on that too. And you know what I'm talking about with cleats?
Like, yes.
It's not an easy thing to do. Remarkable that he had that high of a jump. Maybe, you know, he should be in the Olympics or something because my God. But I'm sitting there and I'm watching this and I'm like, huh? How it was super.
It's gravity defying. Like, I can't even, and they said the minute he did it, he came off the sideline and they said, NFL is going to drug test you for that. And he was like, yeah. They came a calling, they drug tested him. And there's a little piece of me that's like, really? Like, it feels like a slap in the face a little bit because like that brings fans in. Like, stop it. Just stop. You guys got to get on everything. Like, just, you just got to take the fun out of all of it.
Did he get the test results back?
Yeah, he was clean.
Oh, well, there you go.
I mean, but like I said, he'd done it before.
Right.
And if you see the man's quads, I mean, and when he squats, his workouts are nuts. So
you're not checking out the ball during the football game? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No,
I just wanted to make sure. I'll get off it.
This is as a personal trainer, as a former personal trainer. An athlete, you know, I just want to know what his workouts are like. Can I do better to improve? And as a wushu stylist, our thing is jumping. So anything that, you know, I can do to improve myself, I'm going to look. And Saquon can help me with that. So yes, I'm watching, you know, just a little bit.
You know, that brings me to my next question. A fan question over here says, what is the wildest thing you girls have done? The wildest thing you have ever done? Do you have them? Like a crazy moment? It might not be the wildest, but can you come up with? Oh God, the look on your face says it all.
Yeah, because right now my friend Jen somewhere is going, "Don't say it." Right? Don't say it.
Say it.
Okay, so I think we were 18. Yeah, Jen and I were 18 with two of our friends, and we broke into a water slide park, and we. And we had some fun on the water slides. Like, it was probably about, you see, here's the dumb thing though. There was a bar and then the water slide park. Why you put the two of them together? I don't understand. Like, right there, you got to go, you must have expected this. But yes, we hopped the fence and.
Did you get caught?
We actually did not get caught. We found out later there were cameras, but nobody came a calling, but the alarm was tripped. And then we ran back into the bar where they were like wet footprints leading to the corner where we were all huddled. And we know people came in looking. And how they didn't find us to this day, I still don't understand that. But it was just, we broke into a water slide park and played on the water slides. Why did they keep the water running late at night? That was a dumb move too. Why would you keep the water running?
Well, usually you would think they would stop the water for the night.
Yeah, it was July. Huh. Now that I think about it, there was a lot of dumb things going on there.
Did you have fun?
Oh, we had a blast. I would even say the other people that were with us and say last names, they would kill me because one of them's a cop now and he's a detective, so I can't. But we had a blast. Yeah, I did that. I did break into a water park one. Yeah, and had a good time. What about you?
Oh, Sorry, Mom. Here's another one. I say this every time because I know she listens in, but she's very well aware of this. This is almost even embarrassing to admit. But I was young. I was really young. I was only about like 15, 16 in there. Thank God I was young. And you know when you hang out probably with the wrong group of people, but you think it's the right group of people? So when they suggest things in your gut, you know it's not right, but you're also trying to fit in. That's how I'm going to preface this, all right? So
understood.
There is this town that was near us, and it's probably maybe like a mile and a half wide by a mile and a half wide. It's not big, but they have one general store in this complex, right? It was like a convenience store. And somebody who lived in that town knew when food deliveries would happen. And so he said, the Tasty Cake truck is coming and he's going to make a delivery. So we thought, okay, this might be funny. And you put on, you know, they were putting on their little black masks and all to wait for the driver so they could go up and not scare him. There was no weapons, nothing like that. But you know how you walk up. This is years and years ago before the world's changed like it is today, right? So
yes.
It's like innocent fun, so you think. So he scares the driver into saying like, get out of your truck. Stop that. We're going to do it. In the meantime, he gets the key to open up the back of the truck. And it was the Tasty Cake delivery. So we had all of the Tasty Cake pastries on, and we're all trying to like stuff them in. And you know, you're laughing while you're doing it, thinking
of
that.
Course.
So everybody runs with this stuff in them and they're running and they get to this fence. Marianne did not know how to hop a fence. They're climbing up as fast as they can and jumping over. I got up like two and I feel something pulling my jacket.
Yeah.
So it was the town police officer and he's like, what are you doing? Well, what does it look like I'm doing? And I'm trying to, now I'm thinking maybe I have the girls up here that you can't tell they're stuffed because I didn't put them in my pockets or my coat jacket. They are where they would be secure. Women, you know what I'm talking about. It's the bank. We all know, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there. So you know, when you feel him like taking you down, you have to get your foot out of the fence, you know, and you're standing there like, I didn't do it, officer. I didn't. I said, I was just trying to keep up with my friends. The good news is he never searched, thank God, probably because I was young, you know. He didn't. I had a couple things. I had like three things, right? But other people who were over 18 that were part of this group, they went looking for them. And there's these two guys. They were nice people, but they were just trouble. They were always doing something stupid, not harming anybody, but sometimes harm property, stuff like, and the stuff we're doing is wrong. So anyway, they called it the infamous Tasty Cake heist. Now let's fast forward this. And I'm talking like blah, 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 so many decades. Blah, 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 I'm not gonna say that. And you're sitting there and you're talking and you realize that your brother is engaged and he's getting married and all.
Oh,
and
no.
You're talking. And all of a sudden, she's like, we're talking about this story. And she's like, that's the Tasty Cake heist. Wait a minute. You were part of that? I was like, oh, I didn't think that story followed us. But apparently it did. So it was young. I was stupid. And I didn't get in any trouble for it because I really didn't harm anybody. The people that were over 18 got in a little bit of trouble that were, you know, egging us on. And of course they were like, don't come back to this town. You don't live in this town, blah, blah, blah. We were laughing ourselves sick while I was sitting there eating my Susie Q. Susie Q. Was it a Susie Q or a devil dog? I don't remember. I think it was Tasty Cake. And I want to say it might've been a devil dog as we were sitting there eating our devil dogs on the way home.
Did you learn your lesson? Crime doesn't pay.
Yeah, I did. But, you know, she asked what was the wildest thing. I don't know if that's the wildest thing. It was one of the craziest, stupid things you do when you're a kid.
I think that counts.
I've grown up now. I've grown up. Mom, I've grown up. Sorry. But she knew about this too.
You're not knocking off any more pastry cake.
No, I haven't done that. And, you know, you look back at it now and you laugh because it was like seriously in good fun. Nobody got hurt, you know, you have to pay back Tasty Cake and do all that stuff. And the driver wasn't harmed in any way. In fact, after a while, he was kind of laughing about it to try to see us how fast can we run. Now, here's the point to self. Do not wear white pants when you're going to go do something like this. Because I didn't know I'd be. It was a summer day. What did I know? Didn't know. And you remember back then
when they had- You didn't get the ninja memo.
like if it was drizzling, they had those plastic jackets. It was a jacket. Yes. It was just and it was like a light green, but when you tie it around your waist, you could still see the white pants. So if I didn't have that and I couldn't get over the fence, maybe I could have hid, but I really couldn't in white pants.
No, that was no.
So what did this teach me? It's wrong, but it teaches you not what not to do for fashion. The next time. For fashion.
It teaches you fashion rules. The rules of fashion when you're planning a heist. That's what it taught you.
Yeah,
white is not the color. You need to be better about that.
I wasn't planning the heist either. It just was, you know, it was something to do. You know, when kids are kids, well, what are we going to do tonight? Oh, we should go over there. We could go get candy. You know, you were actually going there. And then the truck pulled up and I was these no-namers. Well, I will not mention their names, but they're like, wouldn't it be funny if we could get into that truck just to have some fun? It's not like you took the entire truck, but they took quite a bit. They did. I only could stuff what I could. I opened a box and I left the open box there. I didn't take the whole box. It still makes
me
guilty.
Thank God you left the cardboard. I mean, you know.
Probably has my fingerprints all over it because I didn't have gloves. You, so, you know, evidence. So I'm just saying, you know.
But I don't think CSI is showing up for the tasty cake. So I think you're safe on that.
No, it was decades ago. And you know what's scary is these people that we were all hanging out, I don't even see, you know, like when you get out of school and it's like, oh, we're going to be friends and everybody's friends forever. But everybody gets their own lives or they move away. It's like a new chapter, and you never see them again. But you still have these stories that can be heartwarming. So hard.
Oh, yeah. It's just that camaraderie. You know, you always have that one summer. I think when you're a teenager, like where everything just clicked and you had your friends or whatever, you had those adventures. You always have one summer. I'm not going to say you have three or four, but like you always have that one summer where you're like, I did this and I did that and this is happening. And, you know, that you can kind of look back on and pull those stories from.
Now, the scary part is. Is somebody just checked in on the show. Anthony Bella, I know you're watching. I'm sorry. You know when you don't want that person to hear this story at that moment?
Yeah.
They just tuned in, so I don't know how much of it they heard, but it's like, oh, I can't believe I just said that live on air. So anyway, Anthony, thank you for tuning in to Liberty Bell Smack, and there
Hi,
is
Anthony,
your shout out.
We know what you did. We know what you did last summer.
I didn't break into a water park, though.
Okay, now we're throwing stones here.
Yes,
you know?
I am. That's a lot worse, don't you think?
We still climbed a fence just like you. It was
but you were able to climb the fence. I didn't exactly have the right shoes on.
All right, yeah.
So that makes it even worse, right? Now, here's the question. Did you go on any, like, because the water was still running in this water park? Were you actually in the water? Did you play around? Did you do all this? Did you ever think there could be a camera on you guys?
No, we didn't think about the camera till later. Mm-hmm. But what was funny was my two guy friends who were up there, Jen and I were at the bottom. Yeah, I'm naming Jen. Jen and I were at the bottom and all you heard was you're the two guys cursed. Because they didn't think the water would be on. So one of them slipped and fell and you heard him hit the bottom. And you're just, Jesus Christ, can you help me up? And then we start laughing. And then the other one goes and falls when he's trying to lift that one up. And that's when he's like, the water's on. And then Jen and I are like, the water's on. Oh my God. So, you know, then we go in and it's a whole thing. And then, like I said, we're all wet now. Then the silent alarm gets tripped. But, you know, we can hear something going on. And then we're like, uh-oh. And then you hear like sirens. And I'm like, I think they're coming for us. Like, wait a minute here. They're on their way to splashdown. Like, we're not. Something's wrong. But at this point, you're wet. So you leave the wet footprints on the cement. And then you're running down the grassy hill because it's on a grassy hill. So she falls. It was just such a mess that I'm like, how are we not in trouble for this? But once again, why do you put Splashdown Park next to a bar? You're just asking for trouble, Splashdown people. You really are. It was just, it wasn't one of our brightest moments. It was funny. And we still laugh about it to this day. Jen and I will still cackle about it. But no, it was not one of our brightest moments at all.
No, not at all. And, you know, but
we didn't destroy anything though. Like no, you know,
nothing was like,
nothing like that. Just
fun. But
you know, there's a water slide park. Let's go on it.
Did you actually see the police or no?
Oh yeah. They came in the bar like looking. And there were footprints leading right up.
I was going to say your clothes have to be soaking wet.
Right
everything.
Up to us in the corner by the dartboard. And we're huddled in and we're pulling more people to like block us. And somehow we got away with it. And we're still sitting there. And we figured that they probably were like, nothing's broken. Just leave them alone. Like they're just a group of kids, whatever. But it was also the person they left in charge of this bar was a kid that graduated with us. So we were all underage. And that was the other thing. We're like, why would you leave this kid in charge? Like, it was just one of those perfect storm scenarios.
Right.
We were like, what is going on here? This is just teenage mayhem waiting to happen. But for some reason, Jen and I, like, I was always designated driver. So that's what makes this whole thing scarier. I was in my right state of mind completely.
Oh. I was too. And I knew in my gut it wasn't right, but it was funny, you know?
That's the
and
teenage
at that time,
frontal lobe not being
you're
developed.
You're like, oh my God, I get all the tasty cake stuff I want. And it was all their different things. That's what you're thinking about. You're thinking like the end goal. You're not thinking, wow, this is really wrong. Well, it is wrong, but they're all doing it. Yeah, Mom, they all did it. I just followed along, except that fence was a little too high for me to get my shoes in because I didn't know this is what I'd be doing that night. So obviously with white pants, wrong shoes. Well, you know.
And then you get the lecture of if they all jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge, would you follow? You know, then you start getting those
that's
lectures.
So true.
And you're just like, well, no, I know that. You know, and then they're like, oh, do you? And you're just like, well, yeah, I think, yeah, I do. You know, and then it just spirals out of control. And by the end of it, you've got every cliche going on. And forget it. You're just done. So, yeah, I went along with it. I admit it. It was a lot of fun, though. And I got a great story to tell years later. And Jen and I still laugh about it. So she's been my best friend since sixth grade. She knows where all the bodies are buried.
You know what? If she's your true friend after telling that story on air, we could tell her what she's going to get if she pledges to Liberty Bell Smack. Come on. Show her what she'll get. Show her what she'll get.
She's actually in my book. She's been locked out of heaven.
There
it
is.
She's the mermaid. She's the mermaid Lady Serena. So if you want to find out what Jen's all about.
That is the $50 pledge right there. And you'll autograph that too, right?
I will autograph it and I will send you the vellum illustrations that go with it. But you can find out all about Lady Serena, who is inspired by my best friend, Jen. All in locked out of heaven. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, that's the genie song. Nope. Sorry. Sorry, that was I Dream of Jeannie. Not The Price is Right, but it sounds kind of the same. So you can get Locked Out of Heaven, the director's cut, and I will autograph it for you, and I will give you the vellum illustrations that go inside. Nobody else has yet.
Well, that's awesome. And for $50, I will give you The Road to Success, a Volume 2, that I co-wrote with Jack Canfield, the chicken soup for the original originator. I can't even talk tonight. The originator for Chicken Soup for the Soul, and nice hardcover copy. And it will teach you how to believe in yourself and get back on your road to success. If like you hear from our stories here, we might've went off the beaten path a little bit. So it's kind of in here. So for $50, you could do that. And if you want to pledge, you can do that by calling us and you could talk to us right now. If you call in at 888-329-3306. It's 888-329-3306. And you know what? Going to another topic. He's still playing The Price is Right. I love that he does that. It is so great, Tyler. He didn't show his handsome face tonight.
Well, he's not dressed up as Woody. Maybe he needs that.
Woody from Buzz Lightyear, in case anybody's wondering what she's
from
talking about.
Toy Story, you know.
Well, I am going to bring up another topic here. Because I want to make sure we mention it.
Okay.
It was a sad story, but it's also a good story at the same time. But this man had a 10 career spanning songs to celebrate his legacy. Quincy Jones passed away the other day at the age of 91. He was surrounded by his family and all. And I remember I was in a store when I heard it, you know, when you first hear it and you're like, Quincy Jones, one, I'm looking at my own immortality going, oh my God, I've known him since I was a tadpole, you know, and to see this, but Quincy Jones, I think people can relate to as an icon. He was like an icon in the music industry. He worked with Ray Charles, Frank Sinatra, Michael Jackson.
Everybody.
I mean, remember Leslie Gore, It's My Party? It's My Party. You remember that song? He helped her with that. But I think one of the biggest things that came to my mind when I heard it is, you remember back in the 80s? They had the USA for Africa.
Yes.
We Are the World.
We Are the World. Yeah.
I mean, you had the biggest stars on the planet in that song. You had Michael Jackson. I think there was Bob Dylan. Yeah. Tina Turner. Dionne Warwick. Cyndi Lauper. Because she had like her really high notes that she was hitting in there. And you had Billy Joel. There was Stevie Wonder. Remember that? Willie Nelson. I mean, Bruce Springsteen, they all came together.
Yes.
And then you know, he sat there and it's like, you know, Lionel Richie co-wrote We Are the World, right? And Quincy Jones and stuff was all part of this. And every song that you hear that you don't think that you would remember, he was always a part of. His legacy is unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, what about Thriller? Remember the song Thriller? I mean, that sold more than 20 million copies, I think, back in the
80s. That was the thing. And even the video, everything. I mean, it defined an era. It defined music video. It redid it, really. I mean, that's when everybody started putting time and money into video and made it what it is. I think it really catapulted MTV.
Yeah. And you know what? This is my girl, for people who don't know this. But I think in 82, he took like a different direction and he worked with Donna Summer. I love Donna Summer.
Yes. And
she had a self-titled album, a dance forward record, and it was Love Is in Control. And speaking of Donna Summer, while I'm here, because I really love her, Tony Camillo, he also worked with her. And you've heard his name on the show with me before.
Yes.
Grammy Award-winning producer with Gladys Knight's Midnight Train to Georgia. And he worked with Donna Summer. And to know like that they all worked together, it just amazes me. And I mean, I couldn't go without talking about Quincy Jones on this show because I had one of those moments. Do you ever have it where you're like, oh, this is so sad? But yet when you look at all of the legacies that you have, he was amazing. And people are writing in, Donna saying Quincy was one of the greats. And yes, he did. Yes. You know, he did. And he was just, and you know what was about him? You never seen him in the media with a bad story. He didn't, he always had a positive persona for people. And it was one of those things that I was sitting in the store and I'm like, it was a happy, bittersweet moment. Like, you know, I don't know if he was sick. I honestly don't know. But the fact, you know, that he passed away peacefully, that's what it sounded like. But I also felt like, oh, another legend is gone, you know?
Oh, what we've lost in the past couple of years has been crazy.
It's been crazy, but it's just like, you don't realize how many people are in people's lives or how people's lives interconnect behind the, behind the scenes and stuff like that, you know? And it's amazing. And what I mean behind the scenes, and I'm going to even take our very own people who listen to the show. When you hear the intro and outro, you hear music that was originated, written, produced and everything by Rich Chalanda. And Rich Chalanda is like an unsung guitar hero in the prog world. He's been in all these bands and some people, you don't even know his name, you know? And that's how I feel. Like Quincy Jones, we know his name, but he's worked with people that you may not even recognize their name. Like you don't know he was behind it, you know, he just, and that's how Rich is, you know what I'm saying? Like he works peacefully behind the scenes. So I'm like familiar with that, but I had to talk about him. I did.
No, that's amazing. Now, Tony Schland, I have one question for you because I'm not sure if I'm getting this right, but I watched the George Michael documentary. Is Tony Schland, is he the one he originally worked on Careless Whispers with and then backed out?
It's not Tony Schlanda.
It's not Tony. Okay. No, that's what I was wondering.
We have Rich Chalanda. It's Rich Chalanda.
Oh, sorry.
That I'm talking about. And then Tony Camillo.
Tony Camillo. Sorry.
So you're mixing the two and coming up.
I got for both C's. You know what I'm saying? Is Tony the one he worked on Careless Whispers with down in Mississippi and then decided no, he didn't want that and said he's got to do it his way? Because I know there was somebody that he worked on. Was it Gladys Knight?
It was one of
Gladys Knight's big, like, composer producers that did the first round of Careless Whisper. And he was like, and Michael was like, George Michael was like, no, I'm going to do it my way, and backed out.
Yeah,
and
he had nothing to do with Careless Whisper. Okay. He had stuff to do, like, with, you remember Dirty Dancing, like Hungry Eyes,
okay,
the Time of My Life, stuff like that behind the scenes. That I don't know if he actually got full credit for, you know, but he was always there, and he worked on Motown for, God, 30, 40 years, you know, he was there. But it's just really interesting to see how lives interact together.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, that's how we found each other, was right here on this show. So I hope our fans are listening, because I see people writing in. It's getting really exciting. And we have so many other further shows to do. And if you have a topic idea that you want to talk about, or you want to know, like Donna wrote in, what's the wildest thing you girls have ever done? You can do that. And within reason, keep it clean, folks. You know, we will sit there and divulge our hearts every week on this show. So if you want to do that, and you can even call in and give your opinion to us on something. And you could do that by calling us at 888-329-3306. Every week, that number is not going to change. So I want you to write it down. It's 888-329-3306. Now, do you have another hot topic? We have time for one more.
Yes. I got some Marvel news for my Marvel comic book geeks.
Okay.
So Elizabeth Olsen is possibly returning to the MCU as Scarlet Witch, with Dr. Doom, Robert Downey Jr., as her love interest in Avengers Doomsday. It looks like she will come back, either for Secret Wars or Doomsday, and reprise the role of Scarlet Witch, which she thought was done. And she was like, yeah, I don't know, whatever. But she will possibly be coming back as his love interest, which puts a whole new spin on, is it Tony Stark? What are we doing? This whole thing. But she's supposedly coming back as Scarlet Witch and as Earth 616 Scarlet Witch. So the one we saw from Multiverse of Madness, that whole thing, she's coming back. And there's talk of a spinoff in this whole thing. So I don't know, but it would kind of be cool to see this whole Dr. Doom, Scarlet Witch romance thing, which was done once in the comics. But I would like to see Elizabeth Olsen and Robert Downey Jr. kind of take the stage, because I think they're both powerhouse actors. So I think it would kind of be really cool to see this. I don't know what the comic geeks out there are saying, but I'm kind of into this whole thing. So I think it would be really cool. So that's what I've heard. I mean, if we have time, I do have one more little tidbit on the comic scene, which I think, you know,
do it really fast, sure, why not?
Barry Keoghan is returning as the Joker in his own spinoff series, similar to The Penguin. The Penguin did so well by HBO Max. They're going to give the Joker his own series, very similar to that, with a true origin story. No more of this Joaquin Phoenix, whatever stuff. He's getting a true Matt Reeves retelling, very similar. And they're going to continue that whole Penguin thing with each villain on HBO Max. And that's how they're going to do it, to tie it into the Batman movies.
Did you ever hear this, the show Pennyworth?
Yes.
On HBO?
That
do you know that when you hear the song Good Day, that was the original song Nectar wrote back in 1969, and they put it on that show?
No,
we are not multimillionaires, but I could tell you that Pennyworth, when you hear the song Good Day, that is how we close our concerts a lot of the times, using that song. And it was the first song Nectar ever wrote back in 1969.
Wow, that's a full circle little thing. Wow, you tied that in nice, Marianne. Good
you
job.
Just brought it up, so I figured I'm going to go for it, you know?
Right there, right in a little knot.
Well, we did. And you know what's crazy? It's like we're at the end of the show. I can't believe how fast this went. I hope it went fast for our listeners. And I want to thank people. You know, you have Anthony, you have Don, and you have quite a few others here that were sitting here writing to us during the show and being very actively pro fans of ours. So thank you for doing that and chiming in, because that's what we want our fans to do every single week. But I can't believe it's over. Tyler has been fantastic. He's been on everything for us. And you know, I love spending time with you, Danielle. It just goes by so fast.
I love
week
it.
After week.
I'm waiting for next week already. I'm counting it down.
We will be back next week right here on WWDB at 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's drive time, prime time, drive time for you folks in the East. Or you can download us anytime, anywhere using the WWDB app. And for right now, I am Marianne Costello, along with Danielle Orsino and our chosen producer. We didn't see tonight, but we heard him, Tyler.
Hey,
we want to thank you. And we need to count it down. Are you ready, Danielle?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Liberty Bell.